You're listening to Hockey Central Saturday with Nick Alberga and Rory Boylan on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
All right, great. We have everything in order and getting you set for a 14-game recap in the NHL. It's Hockey Central Saturday across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Nick Alberga, Rory Boylan at the Golden Muzzy at Rory Boylan. Hot and heavy, the action, the best way to describe the action in the NHL. I'm not talking about Cam Newton's love life either.
Oh.
Hi-yo. What would possess any individual in their right minds to give up chocolate bars for the month of March?
I don't know.
I couldn't say the real things. So candy. that came to my mind.
We're less than 2 minutes into this segment. We're already off the rails.
Do your best to segue to the activity on the ice in the NHL.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, how many did you say there were 14 games and 10 of them had something to do with playoff implications here tonight?
My math's never close.
Yeah.
So. I know Edmonton and Ottawa featured teams not going to the playoffs.
Yeah, and so did this last game here
exactly
tonight. So that's two. Anyways.
Don't call me on it, please.
The Western wildcard race, I mean, a lot of stuff happened in there tonight, and that's kind of where most of the focus is probably going to be here over the next little bit. Dallas, Colorado, Minnesota, Chicago. I mean, Colorado, I mean, I thought they were done when Landeskog went down for the year because they didn't have any scoring. Their goaltending wasn't there, and now look at them. Another good game today, and they're sitting second in the wild card. But looking to the East, you got to feel really good right now if you're rooting on the Montreal Canadiens. They're creating a little bit of space between them and the Columbus Blue Jackets now, who did not play tonight. And the Blue Jackets, inexplicably, the offense has just disappeared again here for them. And even though Ryan DeZingle and Matt Duchene have performed pretty well since the trade deadline, especially of late, I mean, the whole team offense, Artemi Panarin has basically disappeared. Sergei Bobrovsky got, quote, nicked up, and that's a trouble area for them. And so now Montreal, they've played one more game than Columbus, but they're 3 points up on them, and that's really what it's all about this close to the end of the season, is how many points does the team behind you have to make up? And Montreal is really making a strong late push here.
Indeed they are, and it was great to see as well some run support for one Carey Price on Saturday night,
because
he hasn't got much of that lately. So we'll get to that game momentarily. We start the 14-game tour in Vancouver. It's the Canucks and the Calgary Flames, and just another monumental night for those of you in charge of the Mark Giordano for Norris debate. He was outstanding in this game on the road in Vancouver. Started early, 9:44 into the first.
And they got a long stretch of home games to do so. This is game two of a seven-game homestand. Here's Ryan inside, goes to the cross, scores! Mark Giordano with his 70th point of the season.
Dave Randorf on the CBC with the call. Giordano 1-2 in this game against the Vancouver Canucks in a 3-1 win. His 16th there from Ryan and Hathaway in the second. Hathaway returns the favor. His 10th from Giordano. 2-0 after 40 in the third. Brock Besser solves Mike Smith, who made 27 saves in this game, on the power play from Edler and Pedersen. But the red-hot Andrew Mangiapane, yes, eat bread in Italian, his 7th from Giordano at 7:25, and we land on a 3-1 win for the Calgary Flames, now 6 points ahead of the San Jose Sharks for first in the Pacific Division. We'll hear now the Mangiapane goal in the third period.
Batted away by Briefois. Garnet Hathaway causing a turnover. Here's Mangiapane! Scores! One-time rockets into the back of the net, and it's a two-goal lead again for the Flames.
Hooray for Italian hockey. A 3-1 win for Calgary, Rory. What did you think?
Well, I mean, it was all about the depth here tonight for the Calgary Flames. You know, you had 3 shots total between Johnny Gaudreau, Matthew Tkachuk, and Sean Monahan. And aside from Giordano, the Garnet Hathaway, Andrew Mangiapane, that's the fourth line for Calgary, really driving it here. 6-1-0 now they are in their past 7 games. Really important that they've got a 6-point cushion on the San Jose Sharks now. And it looks all but certain that they're going to line up against the second wild card instead of the Vegas Golden Knights. That's a big upgrade.
That's massive, especially the way the Golden Knights are playing. We'll get to that story later on. A bit of a trap game against Detroit, went to OT in that one. Meantime, it was a good night overall, I felt, for the teams going into the Stanley Cup playoffs out west here in Canada. So Calgary wins 3-1. Clearly the Winnipeg Jets next up. pretty much the battle for first in the Central Division
yeah.
in this game as the Jets played host to the Nashville Predators. And I think Winnipeg flexing its muscles again, definitively showing, yeah, we are the better team. And what a night for this man who also guested on the program earlier on, Kyle Connor.
Now it's thrown ahead, waiting is Hayes. Connor in off the left. Kyle Connor to the backhand, scores! What a goal! Goal number 30 for Kyle Connor, and Winnipeg jumps on top. No, now a malfunction at the junction. As Irwin ran into Yarncroak, here's a chance. Connor to the net, scores! Costly turnover in the neutral zone. Kyle Connor has his second of the game, and it's 4-0. 15 seconds to go. Hayes. Line A to the side. They score. It's a hat trick. First career hat trick for Kyle Connor as he makes it 5-0 Winnipeg.
There's John Shorthouse on Sportsnet 360, a resounding victory for the Winnipeg Jets on home ice against the rival Nashville Predators, 5-0 the final. Kyle Connor, you heard those three calls right there. First hat trick of his NHL career early on, now a career high 32 goals on the year, and they also activated a performance bonus in his contract with that hat trick goal, and it was over $400,000. If you're wondering,
yeah, and then he's going to get a large pay increase this summer too. He's one of the three big RFAs up for new deals there in Winnipeg, along with Laine and Trouba. He's quietly going to make a killing there. I mean, back to back 30 goal seasons, a great complimentary player on the top line. In a way, he drives that second line. I mean, Laine still isn't scoring at the pace. Kyle Connor is the big guy there. So it's going to be interesting to see just what he gets paid. I don't think he'll get paid as much as Laine, but how high he goes is going to really influence future decisions for the Jets.
Oh, for sure. And I think at times people look past a guy like Kyle Connor because of all the firepower in Winnipeg. He's had another incredible season and has really overshadowed Patrick Laine.
Yes.
And you start to wonder that debate when it comes up in the offseason, who gets what in terms of pay, because yeah, Laine is probably the better goal scorer, but I think Connor's been more consistent throughout his career.
Yeah,
so far.
And it makes, you know, at some point, if the cap crunch becomes too much, and I'm not saying it's going to be this summer or anything like that, and you have to make decisions on players, you know, who would you rather have, Connor or Patrick Laine? And I think it's, you know, if you want points and you want huge goal potential, you're probably going with Laine. But if you want consistency and you know a guy's going to score 30 goals, and he brings a little bit more of a well-rounded game, Connor might be the guy. I mean, I think they're closer than you might think. And Kyle Connor really just exploded here tonight and reminded us that he is a massive piece of this Jets team.
All right, from the Winnipeg-Nashville story we go, and two teams going to the Stanley Cup playoffs to two teams not going to the Stanley Cup playoffs, but a lot to play for on Saturday. John Shannon was there. It's Edmonton and Ottawa.
Zach Cassian, along with Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid up front. It is Larson and Klefbom on the blue line against an Ottawa Senators team that is coming in having lost five straight on the road. Well, Lannan's shot misses the target. Kachuk going after it, trying to put it in, and he did. He banked it in off Mikko Koskinen. And Brady Kachuk gets his third power play goal of the season. And the Senators have a 1-0 lead on an odd one. Draisaitl, long pass, knocked down neatly there by Ryan. White drops it back for Shabbat. Thomas Shabbat drifts his way in, puts it right out in front, and Bobby Ryan scores. Second power play goal of the afternoon for the Senators, and they retake the lead. McDavid now trying to get by. Vierby does. He's got Draisaitl with him. Back to McDavid. He scores! Dynamic duo! Connor McDavid has tied his career high in points. Gibbons along with Vierby. Vierby looking for Gibbons. He scores! Ryan Gibbons came over in a trade from Anaheim. In his 13th game with the Ottawa Senators, gets his fourth goal with his new team and has given his team the lead. Gagne there along with Gambardella. Gabe lets it go. He scores. What a shot. Colby Cave's last goal was February the 28th in Ottawa. He had gone 10 games without one. He has tied the game here. Leon Draisaitl. Puck check. McDavid a chance. That's cleared away. And now, Brady Tkachuk moving in with Bolzers. Let's it go. It scores. Tkachuk wins the game in overtime.
Hooray, Kevin Quinn, Drew Remenda on Sportsnet. The Oilers falling 4-3 to the Ottawa Senators on an OT winner from Brady Tkachuk. You have anything else to add, Rory?
I have to give the people the news they all want to know about this game. Tobias Reeder played 12 minutes and 2 seconds, didn't have a point, had one shot on goal.
You know, my buddy at Tyler Matarazz at SiriusXM NHL Network Radio put out the poll of the year the other day on social media on Twitter. Who scores first? And I took neither, by the way, and there wasn't an either option. Tobias Reeder or our guy Val Nichushkin in Dallas? Who scores first?
Oh, wow.
Like, I could do the same thing as those guys, not score and get paid over $1 million. Just put me out there. We'll get Nichushkin to host this radio show.
Is Val Nichushkin the most disappointing player this zero
Yeah, I just
goals.
Don't want people to go back to my fantasy stuff in September where I touted him for a contract year and his return from Russia because he has stunk up
what
the joint.
Jeez.
Loss of confidence, and he played in an all-star league in the KHL where there's no body contact. That's what happened.
This is how bad the Edmonton Oilers and Ottawa Senators are because we're talking about Val Nichushkin in this game.
I just have nothing to add. Like, these,
I know.
These
I know.
Two teams
Neither
are
do I. Neither do
absolute
I, really.
Train wreck of an organization, both of them. Okay, we roll on. The Buffalo Sabres on the road to take on the Montreal Canadiens. Why is Hayden so mystified when we give our... objectified opinions here on the program.
I'll give you a positive thing about that game, Hayden, to make you happy. Connor McDavid equaled his career high, 108 points. He'll probably break it. Congratulations.
John Shannon was on a private bird to get to that game. That's all I got to add, so we'll roll on. The Buffalo Sabres, the Montreal Canadiens. How about some run support? Somewhere Jacob deGrom of the New York Mets is like, wow, what is run support? Montreal came to play certainly in this one against the Buffalo Sabres, who, by the way, have the golden unicorn of fantasy hockey schedules coming up this week. 5 games in 7 days.
Ooh.
I don't know why they're a team. There's two teams, your Florida Panthers earlier this year and now the Buffalo Sabres. So
it's your Sabres?
Pick up your yeah, I love the Buffalo Sabres. Pick up Carter Hutton when he's hot. Get destroyed by the Montreal Canadiens. Here's a couple of the goals for the Habs.
Playing it back for Reinhardt. Reinhardt got away from Byron. Now it's not for Cederberg. Here comes Wheel, Byron with him, Jordan Wheel, shoots, kicked up and up, scores! Paul Byron!
That's sort of the same as goaltending, a little flaky.
Catcher actually used to having fast objects come flying at you. Here's Weber, in front, got it, he scores!
John Bartlett and Greg Millen, the call there on City TV. Sam Reinhardt had the first goal of the game. It was 1-0 Buffalo after one. Montreal takes over in the second with 4 goals. Lekkonen's 9th. Gallagher had another big game, 32. Shaw is 18th. That's sneaky. Alex Nylander's been a hot player as of late. That continued. He's been getting some top-line minutes with Jack Eichel. Jeff Skinner, nowhere to be found, by the way. He's losing money by the second. Mm-hmm. Nylander's 2nd on the PP. Scandella, the Montreal native, his 5th there. You know his uncle, Sergio Mimeso? You knew that, probably.
I did not.
And Paul Byron, his 14th. Jordan Wheel has been a nice addition. So has Nate Thompson. He was really, really good the other night for the Montreal Canadiens in a fourth-line capacity. Into the third, Gallagher. I tell you, 33 goals for Brendan Gallagher. You need that or you're not making the Stanley Cup playoffs. The jury's still out, but, I mean, that's incredible. Max Domi scores his 26th in the power play, and Thomas Tatar, the empty netter, number 23 for him. A 7-4 win for Montreal. Going into this game, Carey Price had surrendered 6 goals in 5 games. He surrenders 4 in this game. It didn't matter because the Habs put 6 past Carter Hutton, added one more, the empty netter, a 7-4 win.
The question is, who starts tomorrow for the Montreal Canadiens at this point? To me, right now, that back-to-back stuff is out the window.
They have a backup goalie.
Yeah, they have a backup goalie, but you're going for the playoffs. You have a decent matchup against Carolina, who's scoring goals, so you want to put your goalie out there. They might absolutely light up Antti Niemi. And then at the same time, Columbus returns to action tomorrow in Vancouver, so that's a pretty favorable matchup for them, you'd think, although they've only got 4 goals over the last 3 games. 1 point against Boston, Calgary, and Edmonton in the last couple of weeks. So I think Montreal just needs to keep their momentum going. And even though Columbus has that game against Vancouver, you got to go back with Price and just keep trying to get all the points you can.
Yeah, especially if you're Montreal again, even Carolina for that matter. They're going to flip-flop, and they have, you know, they believe in both guys. For Montreal, it's got to be Price. Niemi has just looked very, very shaky. That's the one thing you will see different for the Habs next year. Whether it's internally or somebody else, there'll be a new backup in town for Carey Price. You got to... The guy's not getting any younger. He's still one of the best in the world. You got to keep him fresh when you can. You have to have faith in your backup. That's the one thing, among other things, we've learned this season in the NHL. Once again, you have to have two competent goalies. And Montreal, God forbid something happens to Carey Price, they're going to be in some big-time trouble. From there, we roll on to Scotiabank Arena in Toronto. Again, it's Nick Alberger, Rory Boylan with you on Hockey Central Saturday across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Alexander Georgiev, the Bulgarian bruiser himself, in town. Something about playing the Maple Leafs gets this Bulgarian going. He was outstanding second time this season. Earlier this year on his birthday on Broadway, he was out of this world. It continued in this game, 44 saves. No scoring until the third, where Pavel Buchnevich would score his 18th from Shea and Shattenkirk 19 seconds in. But about midway through the third, finally a response for the Maple Leafs.
Toronto breaks out. Here's Marner. There's Riley again on the fly. Backhands the puck at the net. The rebound bounces in front. Tavares in front. Hyman scores! Finally, a breakthrough against Alexander Georgiev, and it's a tie game.
Yeah, we actually saw the kitchen sink thrown at Georgiev in this game. Zach Hyman finally solves him. Number 19 from Tavares and Marner at 8:33. But I felt for all the offense the Leafs provided in this game, they were shanking a lot of shots wide with wide open nets, weren't they?
Yeah, they were, but with those came a lot of high quality chances that did get on net. I mean, they ended up with 45 shots. Maybe they could have got 60 if some of those ended up hitting the net. But I mean, I really don't want to take anything away from what Georgiev did. I mean, he was stellar tonight against the Leafs. This, you'll look at this final score and say, well, the Leafs' offense is vanishing again, but I don't think that was the tale of this game. I think their offense was there tonight very much so. Auston Matthews had a career-high, high-quality chances on net and scoring opportunities tonight. So they were getting their chances. It was just that the Rangers goalie was outstanding.
He was outstanding, and I think the one thing, or among other things, we've noticed in the Mike Babcock era is when the team starts to lock down defensively, the offense will come in the next couple of weeks for the Maple Leafs. I think first and foremost, you want to rectify some of the issues, among others, they've been having as of late. So Zach Hyman, the tying goal, sets up OT, but didn't take long. Georgiev beats the Maple Leafs again.
Across the ice, Brian Skondonievas, wonderful save. Still a loose puck, they score. After that tremendous save, Ryan Strom tucked the puck into the side of the net, and the New York Rangers have defeated the Toronto Maple Leafs 2-1.
There you have it, Ryan Strom, the Mississauga native, is 15th on the doorstep off a brilliant save from Frederik Andersen. Could not stop the second attempt on the pass around. From Buchnevich, Halloween's his favorite holiday, by the way. 148, a 2-1 win for the New York Rangers. Baby steps, I suppose, for the Maple Leafs. But, you know, living in the market the way we do, I sort of chuckle every day that people are trying to coddle the Maple Leafs around it. Yeah, they played better against Buffalo, but it's Buffalo. You know, like, they just surrendered 6 goals and plus 1 against the Montreal Canadiens. They're not a good team. I think, in general, the Maple Leafs have a lot of room to grow, and they know internally they're not going anywhere without Jake Gardner and Travis Dermott.
That's the number one factor. They need to get those guys back. But, again, like this point in the season, you can't really look at these games against non-playoff teams and draw anything out. I think the troubling record for the Leafs is that, so with this loss, they're now 27-8-4 against non-playoff teams. 17-18-1 against teams that are in the playoffs right now. Those are that's your competition. And if you're below 500 against those teams, that's what I'm more worried about. I'm not worried about not scoring enough goals, Freddie Andersen imploding. You need those two defensemen back, and you need to find some way to get some wins against these playoff teams.
The best thing about the Stanley Cup playoffs, Rory, throw the numbers and stats out the windows, my friend, and then you start brand spanking new.
Hello
to the analytics friends out there. We head back. Sorry, I had to be. I'm very sarcastic tonight. Sunrise, their next stop, the Florida Panthers at home to the Boston Bruins. Mike Babcock always says it, Tampa wins every night, although they didn't win it on Saturday night. Boston wins every night. Well, one stayed true to form. What a impressive performance on the road for the Boston Bruins. What a fight from Noel Achari. And this team looks primed and ready for their first-round matchup against the Maple Leafs.
Brown can't clear. Coyle takes the hit to get the puck to Heinen. Here's Chara walking down Broadway. He scores! Zdeno Chara's 200th goal in the National Hockey League. The 22nd defenseman in history to reach that plateau.
Faceoff win by that top line. Still a ways to go.
Coleman the steal. Goes inside Uyghur. And scores! Carson Coleman! The Bruins with a rapid-fire response. And it's 4-1.
Jack Edwards, as heard on Rogers NHL Live. Yeah, it was a points night for the Boston Bruins. Great to see their depth guys chipping in. A 7-3 final.
Noel Achari,
his fifth.
Whoops.
1-0 after one. Into the second, Brad Marchand. Zdeno Chara gets the contract extension. Carson Kuhlman, Stephen Kampfer. Kampfer with the revenge goal because he is a former Florida Panther. Had to bring that up. David Pastrnak scores again. Offensive plenty in this game. And Patrice Bergeron, he just does it. 31 goals on the season, scoring late in this one. A 7-3 final for the Bees.
So that's a four-point swing for Toronto and Boston tonight. Boston getting the win. Toronto getting the
point.
Yeah,
they did get one point. We know what you mean.
I think what that does, first of all, Boston clinches a playoff spot with that win, but also now pull a little bit further ahead. So there's 7 points up on the Maple Leafs. That all but makes them second place finishers in the Atlantic and gives them home ice advantage against the Leafs in round one.
Yep, and as the days go by here, clearly some more teams are going to clinch. The Maple Leafs might take a bit of time again with Montreal still in the periphery. They're not close, but until they fall out of the race, Toronto will not clinch a playoff spot. And the beat goes on for the Maple Leafs. They're hosting the Florida Panthers in their next game. So we'll see what's in store for that one. Boston continues to chuck right along. It's going to be 2-3 in that division. Boston, Toronto, Bees home ice. Final stop of segment one. These are always fun for revenge enthusiasts out there. No Victor Rask video tribute for reasons unbeknownst to us. But again, the beat must go on. Nino Niederreiter taking on Minnesota, always a fun narrative. Neither guy chipped in. It was actually stall night at the ballpark. Mm-hmm. We got a goal from Jordan. We got a goal from Eric. Here's how they sounded.
Getting to it now. Flung back by Terrapin and give and go with Falk. Falk midpoint. His shot tipped in. Out in front. Jordan Stahl. Staked out of the slot. Redirects it by Devin Dubnyk. 16:54 left in the second. Carolina breaks the seal. Zucker in the slot, skate the stick, turned out by Fiala, back it goes, it's Spurgeon now, Kevin Fiala, cross ice, a flinger, they score! To the far side it goes for Eric Staal, who finds an opening with 1 minute left in the power play, and the Minnesota cuts the lead in half.
John Forslund, Trip Tracy on Fox Sports Carolinas, and that prompted another storm surge, NCAA styles, a nice little crossover from Trevor Van Riemsdyk and a dunk. I'm not kidding, by the way. A 5-1 win for Carolina here. Jordan Staal had another big game, 1-1 in this one. Eric Staal scores against the Canes, the lone goal for Minnesota. I believe now 8-7-3, I want to say, since the playoff guarantee for Bruce Boudreau. I always like to bring up, you know, that it's like your January 1st stat. You know you're going to find it in the program.
Mm-hmm.
So 5-1 win here for Carolina, taking care of business. Peter Mrazek, what a story. 24 saves.
Remember when he was the goalie of the future there, or the near future in Detroit, and it was looking like, man, he was going to be maybe an elite goalie, and then it kind of went away, and then he took the one-year show-me deal here in Carolina. Rod Brindamore was on the show with us last Saturday night, and he talked about how important Mrazek and Curtis McElhinney have been, because they really have steadied everything back there. Carolina's always been a team that has gotten a lot of shots, controlled the aspect of the game that way, but they hadn't broken through in goals, and Cam Ward was just a below-average netminder for so many years that they stayed loyal to. But now you're getting Nino Niederreiter scoring, Sebastian Aho has broken out as a star in this league. Staal has played a really good part of that team. Teuvo Teravainen has been a big part of the offense too. And then the goalies have steadied it. This Carolina team looks way different than the ones that have folded in the past. I just like, you got to be careful, I think, with where they finish here, because there's still a chance that because they do have two games in hand of Pittsburgh and one of the Islanders, that they could get into one of those 2-3 spots. You can't play Pittsburgh in the first round, right? But at the same time, like, would you rather play, I guess, Washington? Would you rather play Pittsburgh? I'd rather play Washington.
Yeah.
At this point, I really think Pittsburgh's coming in hot. Not that Washington would be easy or anything like that. I just think whatever kind of offense that you have that is a strength for the Carolina Hurricanes, Pittsburgh's going to just throw it right back in your face.
You never know. The Metro is so fascinating right now. And as you mentioned, you know, any one of four teams potentially could win that division right now, which is crazy, whether it be Washington, the Islanders, Pittsburgh, or Carolina.
Best case scenario for the Hurricanes is they do play the Islanders, though. Mm-hmm. That's one. I think the Islanders are in the first round.
Yeah.
I think it's been a great story, but I think they're slowing down a little bit here.
Beat Philadelphia on Saturday.
Yeah, but I think the offense, like Matt Barzal, has been very quiet here for a while. I think the defense is allowing more shots than it was and quality shots than it was early in the season. I'm not saying that they're a bad team or anything like that. I'm just saying that for the last month and a half, 2 months or so, they've been playing at a pace way closer to a playoff bubble team than a team that they had been for the first half of the season.
It just goes to show you how imperative a good start to a season can be in your long-run playoff hopes for an organization. New York Islanders have been a brilliant story, and even them going to the Stanley Cup playoffs is surreal in its own right. With the break, much more to come here on the program. We'll head off to maybe the game of the night, at least on paper, the St. Louis Blues hosting the Tampa Bay Lightning, winners of 7 in a row going to the Enterprise Center on Saturday night. The Pittsburgh Penguins, speaking of them, they're really, really catching their stride as of late, visiting Dallas. A must-win for both Chicago and Colorado in Denver. And that one, Arizona has been treading water as of late now, loses a 4 in a row. There's no way you can lose to New Jersey, but that's exactly what happened. And that one, Detroit and Vegas, you'd be shocked that what happened in that game, considering the Golden Knights had won 4 in a row and 10 of 11 since the trade deadline, they still found a way to get a point. Philadelphia and the Islanders, a matinee affair from Wells Fargo, and we'll wrap up with the freeway face-off, the penultimate battle of the season, the LA Kings, the Anaheim Ducks. It's Nick Alberga, Rory Boylan, Hockey Central Saturday across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
So many games, you better start growing a few more ears. This is Hockey Central Saturday on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome back to Hockey Central Saturday across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Our recap of the 14-game Saturday continues here. Nick Alberga, Rory Boylan at the Golden Muzzy at Rory Boylan. Quick, find a negative with this Tampa team, Rory.
Oh, boy.
Dave Mishkin, goalie? Dave Mishkin goes over the top on the radio calls. Not really a negative.
No.
Doesn't drink Red Bull, by the way. Doesn't drink energy drinks.
Really?
I asked him. It was a good interview last year.
Is that a popular thing? Do a lot of people do that?
Energy drinks?
Yeah.
I do every time I come into the show because I have no, like, I'm just always tired.
Does coffee fall under the umbrella of energy drinks?
Caffeine, yes.
Okay, then I do drink them.
But
I'm thinking of Monster and, you know, Red Bull and that
sugar-free
stuff.
Well, I guess we're not trying to give sponsors here. But, yeah, energy drinks in general do constitute coffee, tea, anything with caffeine in them, in my opinion, at least. But the answer I was trying to get before we went on in a four-minute tangent there was that, no, there's really not any reason to take a negative out of this Tampa team. Well, they actually lost the game, but it was more so because a skate played was offside in the third period. The St. Louis Blues closing in on second in the Central Division, if you can believe that, given the struggles of the Nashville Predators. They were pounded by the Winnipeg Jets, you found out earlier on. On Saturday, it's Andre Vasilevsky against Jordan Binnington. The call on Saturday night. Great start for the Blues. Robert Thomas, his 8th on the power play from Vince Dunn and Pat Maroon at 11:30. A 1-0 game. Then Alex Steen, who has spent some significant time lately on the fourth line, if you can believe it. His 8th from Sanford at 12:08 makes it a 2-0 game. And about 40 seconds after that, it's 3-0 Blues.
Now Johnson a drive, blocked by Bomeister. So the first goal, Thomas from Dunn and Bozak. The last goal, Steen from Sanford. Here the Blues again, O'Reilly in. Tarasenko, he scores! Unbelievable!
I love John Kelly. That's his call on Fox Sports Midwest right there. Vlad the Impaler His 29th from O'Reilly and Shen. It was 3-0 Blues after 40. Yeah, cue the comeback in the second. Alex Kalorna, 17, shorthanded from Sorelli, 27 seconds in. Then Brain Point, ho-hum, 40 goals from McDonough. For my money, still a better player than Mitch Marner. It's going to be intriguing to see who gets more money on July 1st or after at 7:24. A 3-2 game. Hayden, why are you rolling your eyes? After that, 14:24, Brain Shen. The big goal in this hockey game would prove huge again because Tampa would score in the third period.
John Cooper has not pulled his goaltender during the course of a game.
Now Tarasenko wide open. Rebound. Shen. He scores! What a play! I don't believe it!
There you have it. Brayden Shen is 15th from Tarasenko and Barbashev. And a 4-2 game after 40. Again, Tampa would make things interesting in the third. Steven Stamkos, number 39 from JT Miller. And again, Stamkos looked like he scored again, but they called a back. Great offside call by the St. Louis Blues. They would hang on from there. Outshot in the second by Tampa, 19-8, 11-5 in the third. Overall, 42-26. So the better team didn't win this hockey game, but good on St. Louis. They got the win. Jordan Binnington's been a story, man.
Yeah, I mean, another tremendous game from Jordan Binnington. Can he keep that going into the playoffs is the big question for the St. Louis Blues and how far they ultimately go here. And they just keep surging, and they're now knocking on the door here of home ice advantage, 2 points behind the Nashville Predators for second in the Central with still one game in hand. And, I mean, since Binnington came onto the scene, since Vladimir Tarasenko started scoring goals, I mean, the fact that he's one off of 30, we weren't thinking that he might get there a while ago. They might get home ice advantage here against Nashville, and that would be huge. Nashville has lost 7 games in a row against Winnipeg and St. Louis and been outscored considerably by those two teams. So if St. Louis on top of that can earn home ice advantage for that first round matchup, it's just another thing that swings it in their favor.
If you were to ask me of a sleeper team overall going into the Stanley Cup playoffs, it might be the St. Louis Blues. And the potential, I think this team could go far considering how great this stretch has been for a long period of time.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it does come down to Binnington, but I mean, are they a sleeper if you've been a top five team for 3 months?
Yeah, but everybody's talking about Winnipeg, Nashville, Vegas, Tampa Bay, Washington, Pittsburgh,
are
Carolina.
People talking about Pittsburgh? See, I see them as a bit of a dark horse.
Not at all.
Are people talking
when you have
Pittsburgh
Crosby,
now?
When you have Malkin, who's not healthy, Letang, like Murray, they're going to be there in the conversation.
Okay.
I guarantee it gets to the second round, they play Washington, and they're the favorite in that series.
Okay. Well, then I would agree. St. Louis, because I don't know, like, it wouldn't be Dallas for me. It wouldn't be Colorado,
they
Montreal.
They got no shot in any of those teams.
I have a hard time buying into Carolina going more than 2 rounds. I could see them winning one.
Watch who you say that to. They're winning the Stanley Cup. They're playing Arizona for all
the too many other good teams here. So, yeah, that just leaves St. Louis naturally. I mean, they were a lot of people's, maybe not Stanley Cup pick, but a pick that could go far in the playoffs at the start of the season, and that went off the rails very early. But now that everything is back, and yeah, you're playing Alexander Steen on your fourth line. That's a pretty good fourth liner down there. And you got a really good defense score, the highest scoring defense score in the league. And a goalie that's playing otherworldly, and you have all the tools there to go on a long run.
As Justin Bieber once said, never say never. With that, we roll on. The Dallas Stars, the Pittsburgh Penguins. Clearly, Rory fired up about that Justin Bieber reference. Yes, Canada did trade him to the United States about 5 years back. We look at this one now. It's Matt Murray taking on Anton Khudobin. I do like the fact that Jim Montgomery's got a lot of faith in both his goalies, doesn't he?
Oh, he does. I mean, the strength of the Dallas Stars is their defense. They don't give up a lot of high-danger shots. Ben Bishop, I think, should be in the running for the Vezina at the end. I think he's got to be one of those three finalists. But anytime you put Anton Khudobin in like they did tonight, I mean, he isn't much of a step back from what Bishop has done.
Definitely not. To the highlights we go of this game, and it was low-scoring, tight-checking the way we anticipated it to be. Jake Guentzel scores his 38th. On the power play from Kessel and Letang at 15:25, 1-0 Pens after one. The response from Dallas in the second, Tyler Seguin, number 29 from Radulov and Rupe Hintz at 1:03, a 1-1 game. Then Jared McCann steps up. This guy's been money in the bank since coming over from your Florida Panthers. His 18th from Kessel at 14:41. Pittsburgh regaining that 2-1 lead in this game. But then the response by Dallas again, Andrew Cogliano. His 5th from Klingberg and Nichushkin. Another point for Nichushkin. Still no goals, by the way, so it's 2-2 after 40 in the third. Dallas on the power play early on in the frame, but what a finish again by Jared McCann.
The center, Bluger plays it to himself. Here he comes to the Dallas zone. Pass for McCann, spin around, move. He scores! Unbelievable! A thing of beauty from Jared McCann, shorthanded, and the Penguins have a 3-2 lead.
Little spinorama dance and a beauty there. Steve Mears, the call on Rogers NHL Live, where you can catch all the action, of course. 19th shorthanded from Teddy Bluger. You'd have to think Halloween's his favorite holiday as well. And Eric Branson at 4:20 of the third period. That is the game winner. Matt Murray solid again. 29 saves. Dallas outshooting Pittsburgh 15-9 in the third period. Again, same beat for Dallas. They've been playing some pretty steady, good, strong defensive hockey. Offense has been suspect a bit. It sounds like Zuccarello's closing in on a return the next couple weeks for sure. But they fall short again to the Dallas Stars. What a finish again by Jared McCann.
A spinorama move at the net, shorthanded to put it in. This is the reason that they got him. That's his 19th goal of the season. 23-year-old, can already play responsible minutes on the penalty kill, but he's got a little bit of an untapped offensive upside there. I think eventually he's been moved off to the wing here. I think eventually he does move his way back to the third line pivot. It's really between him and Teddy Bluger at this point as to who's going to be that guy heading into next season. But I think Jim Rutherford has finally found a really solid third liner. Whether he does play center, whether he does play wing, he's going to be a rock for them on the penalty kill for years to come.
And the important thing too, he's only 22 years of age. Seems like Jared McCann's been around forever, but he's only 22. 11 goals, 4 assists, 15 points in 26 games for Jared McCann. Scores the pivotal game winner here for the Pittsburgh Penguins on the road in Dallas. Got anything else to add there?
No, I don't think, Jason Spezza was a scratch here tonight for the Dallas Stars. I think that shows like they're really trying to play a tough defensive game against Pittsburgh here, and he just didn't fit that. And it's opening up opportunities there for guys like Hintz. And I think it was overall a pretty good game for the Dallas Stars and a really strong game for Khudobin, but it's going to be a tough one for them to win. And they're not running away with this spot in the wild card race, 82 points. They're just 3 points in a playoff spot right now.
Yeah, it's a tough sledding, no doubt about that. Meantime, we turn our focus now. Always great to hear Mark Mosier on the program, the TV voice of the Colorado Avalanche. The Avalanche at home to Chicago. Matinee affair, and it's Mark Mosier, Peter McNabb, the call on Altitude Sports.
The McKinnon line out for Jared Bednar. The Anisimov line out for Jeremy Colladen. This game is underway. He got it back to the middle with a quick shot, and it went up off the glass. Here's a long one, Nemeth. They score! Might have been a tip by JT Comper. He was right in front of Corey Crawford, and I believe the Northbrook boy just put the Avs in front.
Secure's been all over the ice. I mean, not only offensively, but defensively, too.
A steal, Secure. Oh, poke rebound, they score! Jonathan Toews found the loose puck after the steal was created. Sekera was poke-checked by the goalie, and Toews finished. Now we're tied. Alan Wilson dropped it back. Johnson's long, but he scores! Johnson's long, but that might have been tipped also. Andrew Ghetto was out in front of the Hawks' goal, and an early third-period tally puts the Avs up two. Here comes Sekera. He drives, trying to center, broken up Nemeth. Saad dropped it. Keith touched it to Gustafson, a one-timer. He scores! Eric Gustafson, a one-timer set up by Duncan. Keith of the Hawks back in the hunt. Down one. Here they come. Kane touched it back. Gustafson missed it. Two on one on ways. The net is empty. Here's an easy one for Brassard. Just as Corey Crawford was leaving, an offensive zone turnover, at least a blue line turnover. 4-2. The Blackhawks are going to fall victim to the Colorado Avalanche today. A major victory for the Avs, who extend their point lead over the Blackhawks to 6.
Sincerest apologies to one Mark Mosier. That's Pat Foley, the Hawks TV calls right there. But nonetheless, a big 4-2 win for the Colorado Avalanche. Sans Mikko Rantanen, by the way. I texted Mosier earlier on Saturday. Not much. They're not saying much on the Rantanen status, but to pull out a victory without Landeskog at Rantanen, pretty impressive here, Rory, for the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, I mean, to lose another one of their big scores like that after losing Landeskog would be a massive blow, but at least Philip Grubauer is coming on here. Another really strong game, stopping 29 of the 31 shots. So he's got three shutouts in his past nine starts now. He hasn't allowed more than two goals and since February 5th. So he's got a really strong stretch here going. I think they've got to lean on him the rest of the way as they make a push for the playoffs. I don't think many people saw coming after Landeskog went down. They leave Saturday second in the wild card with 80 points, one up on both Arizona and Minnesota.
And sometimes you just stumble upon your number one goalie, and that could be happening, you know, that he eased into the opportunity here in Colorado. And a lot of guys do find their groove late in the season. Yeah. So we'll see. A, if Colorado makes the Stanley Cup playoffs, and maybe they found something here in Philip Grubauer, who they did give an extension to when they picked him up.
They were banking on him being that guy.
Yeah, so he has turned his focus now. And again, Semyon Varlamov will be elsewhere coming up next season here in the NHL. So from the Colorado-Chicago story, we go to the Arizona one. Losers of three in a row taking on the Devils, but they got a whole flurry of dudes back in the lineup in that game. Kyle Palmieri, Nico Hischier, among others. So this wasn't the East Coast Hockey League version of the New Jersey Devils. On Saturday afternoon, we get to the highlights now on MSG Plus. Steve Cangelosi and Ken Danico.
For the Devils, it'll be Mackenzie Blackwood in his last start. He comes off a 4-1 loss to the Capitals earlier this week to start the homestand, making 18 saves that night. At the opposite end for Arizona, Darcy Kuemper. The Coyotes needed him to be sharp when number one goaltender Antti Raanta was sidelined with a knee injury November 27th. He has been that for the most part. As a matter of fact, his .921 save percentage in that time ranks top 11 in the NHL. Cousins plays it across, and a drop by Connor Garland is saved by Blackwood. Take it here. Oliver Ekman-Larsson on the puck here for Arizona. Steps up, shoots, he scored! Blackwood was screened, and the shot by Ekman-Larsson gets through. The Coyotes lead. Zaka over the line. Drops this for Stafford. Steps up, shoots, he scores! Drew Stafford beats Kuemper, tie game! Darcy Kuemper, Mackenzie Blackwood. The goalies have been good. A shootout next to the sixth round, and Pavel Zaka for the Devils. Zaka in on Kuemper, scores!
No fooling around there for Zaka. He goes in, head up all the way, picks his spot a couple little moves, and he goes five hole. Kuemper gets a little piece of it with the left pad, not enough.
Richard Ponick now is the sixth shooter for the Coyotes. Ponick in on Blackwood. Ragging off the point, the Devils win.
Always fun to bring up the name Richard Ponick at the disco, but nothing cooking there. That's one of the best fantasy names out there. New Jersey wins a 2-1 in the shootout. Another tough loss, I would say, for the Coyotes, Rory Boylan.
Yeah, their offense has just kind of disappeared here again. They went on a stretch there where it was actually looking really strong, or stronger than it had been at least. Four straight losses coming in. Obviously, that gets added to here tonight. But they've been outscored now 14-7 in their last five games. That needs to get going. I mean, as good as Darcy Kuemper has been, as strong as they are as a checking team at preventing shots, they need to get some of these goals going in. That was an issue that followed them through most of the first half of the season. It was why they fell out in the first place. But whether it's Clayton Keller, whether it's Vinny Hinostroza, Alex Galchenyuk, any of these guys who have had some kind of successful stretch of offense, they need to start finding it here as the games start to count down towards the finish.
Yep, and maybe it's Derek Stepan, right?
So maybe it's Derek Stepan.
We return to the lineup after missing 10 games, but it's got to take him
some time.
It's
going to take him, exactly.
And that's the problem, though, because there's no time, quite frankly, for this Arizona team back in action on Sunday, by the way. So we head off next to the Fortress, the Vegas Golden Knights, at home to the Detroit Red Wings. On paper, just a severe mismatch, but that's why they play the games. Clearly, the Vegas Golden Knights winners of 4 in a row, 10 of 11 since the trade deadline coming into this game. But it was actually Detroit who won. We check in here in the third period. We pick things up 2-1 Golden Knights after Riley Smith scored a shorty and a beauty at that. His 18th unassisted to make it a 2-1 game. But then Detroit, a quick response on that very power play.
Turning it on here as the regular season is winding down.
Said the Golden Knights in. Now Mantha shot and he scores on the same power play in which the Red Wings allow a shorty. Anthony Mantha comes right back. and he ties the game.
Dave Gosher, the call with Shane Knighty on AT&T down in Vegas. Anthony Mantha is 18th on the PP from Athanasiu and Cronwall. Set up overtime, just a costly giveaway by Riley Smith. Ends it for the Red Wings.
Trying to make it 91. Smith took it, gave it away to Larkin. He feeds it in front and Mantha scores. And just like that, the game is over. Riley Smith with a turnover. Dylan Larkin to Anthony Mantha. And it took the Wings 19 seconds to win it in overtime, 3-2.
Anthony Mantha is 19th from Dylan Larkin. What do you make of the potential Vegas-San Jose first-round matchup, Roy?
Well, San Jose's got a real problem in net there. The worst save percentage as a team in the league, and Vegas is scoring goals. You know, the Mark Stone line has driven possession, but the scoring is still coming from that top line with Riley Smith, Jonathan Marchessault, and who am I forgetting here? William Carlson.
Patch Reddy didn't play in this game. Your boy Valentin Zikov played, though.
Yeah, he didn't do anything.
Surprising.
10 minutes, 15 seconds, two shots on goal, nothing like that. But Vegas, when you got Alex Tuch on your third line, you can come at three strong lines of offense. As long as Fleury is back in time, healthy for the playoffs, which I think they expect him to be. I think they expect him back next week sometime. Vegas, is the favorite right now in the Western Conference.
Did see Tuch quite a bit playing with the familiar foes on the second line in this game. So some
without
line juggling.
Yeah, clearly.
With Patch Reddy not playing and Vegas actually losing a game, they do gain a point. Again, they've been on a marvelous streak and unsurprising at that since picking up Mark Stone. From there, we head back to the Eastern Conference, Wells Fargo. Philadelphia living on a prayer right now at home to the New York Islanders here. Another highlight pack, Brennan Burke, Butch Goring on MSG.
We are underway here in Philadelphia. The Islanders start with Martin Cizikas, Clutterbuck, Letty, and Boychuk. A five-some that has started many games throughout the season, a season that has wound up producing 91 points. Big save, and another one for Leonard on the doorstep, point blank. Good look for Hartman that time on the second try, and that one took a funny hop off the boards and off of Leonard and in. Mayfield waltzing into the net, went led, they score! Nelson swinging at it out of the air, and the Islanders get a goal, and they tie the score at one. Now Matt Barzal as the Islanders have the Flyers pinned again. Boychuk, Letty with the tip from out high, not on goal. Barzal, Letty again, he scores! Nick Letty! And the Islanders lead 2-1. And Gostisbehere off the faceoff scores. They win a faceoff. Gostisbehere drills it in. 6 seconds into a Flyers power play, and it's tied. Ryan Pulock stepped up to try and get in front of that pass. Ladd makes a nice play on Van Riemsdyk. Nelson trying to get it deep. Got some help from Bailey. Ladd to the goal. Bailey a shot. He scores! Big-time goal from Josh Bailey inside of 4 minutes to play. Komarov driving in. Komarov for Bailey. He scores! Bailey with two in 2 minutes. Here in the third period, it's a two-goal lead for the Islanders. And the New York Islanders, with two late goals in the third period, win 4-2, drop their magic number to 8 to clinch a playoff spot as Josh Bailey picks up his fourth game-winning goal of the season.
There you have it, two goals for Josh Bailey, a 4-2 win for the Islanders, who dourly needed the win after they were just destroyed by Montreal back on Thursday night.
Yeah, I didn't see Josh Bailey having this kind of a season again. You know, he's not quite at the point he was, but he's surpassing his goals. Two huge ones tonight to get the win against the Philadelphia Flyers, but he was a guy I wasn't really sold on, and just he's continued to go, and he's becoming a bit of a he might get to 20, probably fall a little bit short, but he's become a pretty reliable scorer for the Islanders.
Certainly, it's been a team buy-in when you look at this New York Islanders team. Clearly, you lose the piece you did, and to move on, still produce offense, and get the goaltending, it speaks volumes to the coaching they have instilled right now with the Islanders, 43-25-7. Final stop. Freeway face-off, the penultimate meeting of this season, LA hosting Anaheim, and this one needed a shootout.
Jakob Silverberg usually knows what he wants to do right now before he even touches the puck. He's already got his target picked.
The Ducks cleanup hitter needs to come through. He does not, and the Kings prevail in a shootout tonight at Staples Center by a final score of 4-3.
As heard on Rogers NHL Live, that's the victory. John Quick the save. LA takes it 4-3. And I believe they have a 2-1 series lead now. Game 4 coming up in a couple weeks' time. But neither of those teams headed to the Stanley Cup playoffs. As we wrap up another edition of the program, Your major takeaways as we get closer, Rory, to the playoffs, about 17 days away, and the playoff race is a lot of fun still.
Yeah, well, it's just that they're tightening. All these games tonight that had implications for the wild card is going to lead into a really exciting Sunday, I think, where all five games have something to do with either a wild card race or positioning atop of the standings in the division. Philadelphia, Washington. I think Philadelphia's out, but Washington in a tight race with the Islanders and Penguins for top spot in the Metro. Islanders and Arizona in New York. I mean, Arizona's got to get some offense going against a really tough defensive team. Montreal at Carolina. Two teams still in that wild card race, big for both of those. Colorado and Chicago again play each other for the second night in a row. Probably see Philip Grubauer again in net there, big for Colorado. And Columbus and Vancouver, Columbus absolutely has to win that game.
No doubt, and I love this time of year where teams seem to throw analytics out the window and start their number ones on the back-to-backs. That's how
desperate. Because it doesn't matter. You have nothing to lose at this point. You have to win. Well, you have to get any
Well,
points.
Do the numbers outweigh the margin for error of losing because you have your guy play back-to-back, though?
Well, the whole reason you don't want to play your guy back-to-back is you're playing the long term in December or January, but now it's all your chips are on the table.
Desperation mode, two more shows before the end of the season. We'll talk next weekend. Thanks to everybody involved here, including Hayden and Rory and Tristan and Jared back at Master Control. I'm Nick Alberga. Thanks for listening.